glad to have you with us today. I'm Ray Eppert, and you're listening to Ray Eppert on Politics. I believe we will have a very informative program for you today. We will have with us, after this first segment, Dr. Patty Powers, who will be sharing some of her experience in her practice and just information that she has had from researching things regarding the COVID vaccine as well as COVID, the way treatment is being done with patients right now. All of these things are vitally important. You know, since our program last week, I shared how that I appreciate my family doctor, and I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. I still plan on going to them. The problem is not there. But when I was tested positive for COVID, and then I called because I had radiation this summer because of cancer and so forth, I wanted to know, am I still, is my immune system still compromised? And if so, I want to get some antibiotics to help fight this. The response that I was given was, well, the only thing we can do is you need to quarantine for 14 days and then call us. What immediately went through my mind, because both of my parents, they've passed now, they had issues later in life. And I thought, if they were still alive today and had the issues that they had, that instruction would have been a death sentence to them. And so I actually reached out to get some more information, and I found out this is the common practice. And you might say I'm a little bit on a crusade with this right now, but there are major issues, and we need to challenge the medical professions to actually try to treat and try to care for people. And so, again, that's part of the reason we have this Dr. Patty Powers with us today. So stay with us through these messages, and we will be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com or call 540-255-5903.
Do you have kids? Are you looking for a place where your kids can play competitive sports in a positive environment? If so, check out ACT Sports. They offer a variety of recreational and travel sports year-round for ages 6 to 18. For more information, visit them at playactsports.com. That's play, A-C-T, sports.com. ACT Sports, equipping athletes to soar.
Browning's latest bolt action rifle is the innovative X-Bolt. Designed for total accuracy, the Browning X-Bolt incorporates the new three-lever feather trigger to give you the most precise feel of any factory trigger. The X-Bolt's hand-chambered, free-floating barrel and X-Lock scope mount ensure that every shot you take stays right on target. Check out the Browning X-Bolt rifle at Dominion Outdoors, 15 Angela Court in Fishersville. Browning. The best there is.
Back. And as I mentioned earlier, we have with us today Dr. Patty Powers. She is from the Bedford area, and she is joining us by phone. And so glad to have you with us today, Dr. Powers.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Ray. This is lovely to have this opportunity.
Well, can you tell everyone a little bit about your background and your practice?
Yes, I'm a holistic hormone doctor. I trained in the military in pediatric endocrinology, so that's hormones for kids. And I spent 25 years in the Army, retired, moved to Virginia, did that for 10 more years here, and then decided I was frustrated and disenchanted with conventional medicine. So I went back to school in a matter of speaking with lots of webinars and classes and meetings and changed my practice to a holistic hormone practice for kids and adults.
Yes, good deal. Now, with that, you made the comment that you became disinterested, discouraged about the typical practice. You know, obviously, COVID is a huge issue right now. I know myself, I just came off of quarantine this week. And the one thing that shocked me, I even called my doctor to get a prescription for some antibiotics because I'd had radiation and was concerned about my immune system being compromised. I was basically told just, well, you've got to quarantine 14 days and then we'll see it. No help whatsoever. What are you seeing in all of your experience?
I'm seeing people get that kind of advice too, which is a travesty of medical care, because there are things that we can do to be proactive and preventive to strengthen one's immune system. And there are also things one can do if one becomes sick to treat a COVID infection or other viral infections.
Yes. Well, I actually saw someone earlier today, and they were telling me that, sure enough, that was the same. They had had COVID, and they just told them, said, oh, you just got to go quarantine. And again, that is no help. I understand that, you know, there's not a cure for the common cold. There's not a cure for the flu. I'm not saying that there's a cure for COVID. But all these others, we do things to help fight. Your take on some of that?
Well, we've actually discovered this season that there are things, drugs, medications available by prescription that have antiviral effects that can treat COVID, that can treat the flu, that can treat other viruses. And those are things like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine.
Yes. Now, the hydroxychloroquine, isn't that the typhoid medication?
Well, it's an old malaria medicine.
Malaria,
so people have used it to treat malaria both preventatively, like if you're traveling in that part of the world, or if you have malaria, people use it. We also use it to treat rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. It's been around for years. It's got a very nice safety profile.
Yes, I remember when that was first mentioned as something being to be taken. And I have a friend who is a pharmacist, and you know, there's a lot of debate at first. Oh, we don't know about it. And so I went to the pharmacist and I said, what's your take on this? And he said, have you ever traveled overseas where you had to take some medication? I said, yeah. He said, you've taken it. He said, this comment that we know nothing about this, he said, it's been used for over 50 years with millions upon millions of people taking it with no consequence.
It's very safe. There are several concerns and issues about ivermectin. When ivermectin first kind of came to the forefront last year in terms of being used for COVID, there was a French scientist, Didier Raoult, who was getting some very nice results in France using it. And he published his data, and it was very intriguing, and people started using hydroxychloroquine. And then there were a couple of studies published in big, prominent medical journals, like the New England Journal and the Lancet, that said, essentially, well, no, these drugs aren't safe. We shouldn't use them. And so the message went out that they're not safe. We can't use them. We don't have any treatment. We must go further with the experimental drugs, the remdesivir, the monoclonal antibodies. We must push forward for a vaccine because we have no treatment. Well, it turns out that those studies that were published in the New England Journal and the Lancet were discredited not too long after they were published. It turned out that their data sources were manipulated and not true. And so when you threw out the bad data, actually there was a benefit. So that and many other studies have shown that there is a benefit and it's very safe. However, hydroxychloroquine works as a a zinc ionophore. So an ionophore is something that opens the channels into the cell. And so the hydroxychloroquine actually opens the channels to get zinc into the cell, but the hydroxychloroquine must be used in conjunction with zinc. And that really improves its efficacy. So the other studies that haven't shown much of a benefit were not really using enough zinc or any zinc at all. Mm. When it's used with zinc, it works very nicely.
And how about the ivermectin?
The ivermectin works very nicely also.
Yeah. Now, some of the, you said there were a couple concerns about the ivermectin. Could you address that a little bit further?
Well, neither of these drugs have been approved by the FDA to be used for treating COVID or other viral infections. So we as doctors use them off-label.
Right.
And off-label just means, well, they're approved by the FDA, but they're not approved for this particular use. We've used ivermectin for years to treat parasites. There are studies ongoing that use ivermectin to treat cancer. And it's been around for years. It's, again, a very safe drug. Many people take it. No problems to use it. You know, there are a few people that have allergies and such, but it's fairly uncommon.
Yes. Yeah, because one of the things that just really amazes me throughout this whole process, I mean, we really started hearing about COVID in early 2020, and it just seems like anything that could be a positive, anything that could be a help, then the medical professionals, the administrative, CDC, NIH, the so forth and so on, all of those types of organizations will then just jump on, oh, no, that's not safe, that's not safe. Where in reality, all of these products have been had widespread use for decades. So
yes.
there has to be a level of, they accuse people of disinformation, but in reality, it seems like they have been the source of disinformation because they're saying we don't know about these products, where in reality, they have decades of use where virtually minimal to no problems whatsoever.
That's true, Pastor Ray. They have decades of use, and people are using them both to treat the active infection and to take preventatively to build up your body's resistance.
And, you know, we get told, and I know you're not in a location where you get our program, but one of the things that I have said throughout all of this, I'm a big believer in following the science, particularly the human sciences. And that is if you tell me something that's not true, then I'm going to stop believing you. And, again, we have, from the highest levels, misinformation, inaccurate information being spread broadly. I recently, this past week, I heard again, ivermectin is a problem. Ivermectin is a problem. It is not safe. And again, I understand it's not a cure for COVID, but again, that to me is the biggest disinformation that people are being given, is really coming from the highest levels of the medical profession.
It's sad, isn't it, that this information is being withheld? Another issue with these drugs is that many pharmacies are refusing to dispense them, even with a prescription by a licensed practitioner.
Yeah.
So they've become very hard to get.
And again, just to reference, when I called my family doctor just to see about getting some antibiotics to help in case my system was compromised, and the only thing I was told was, you got to wait 14 days, then call. My dad, he had emphysema. He'd smoked for 60 years. If he were still alive and he had contracted COVID, if that's the case, you know, I'm bringing him forward still being alive. Those instructions would have been a death sentence to him. He would have never survived. And I know this is strong. I was actually speaking to someone a little bit before this program that is involved in the legislature and so forth. And I told them, I said, the medical profession is ultimately at the highest levels. I say, I'm not talking about my family doctor or somebody else's general practitioner. I said, but the upper levels, they've got the blood on their hands, because you almost couldn't design a way for more people to die than the way that they have approached this. Is that an accurate statement? I know I made that statement. If it's wrong, correct me right here on the air.
Sad to say, I think you're right. Yeah. People aren't being treated appropriately. People aren't being treated early. It's much easier to treat when you're sick early. It's even better to prevent. Standard kinds of health guidelines that we know are associated with a better immune system and a milder course of viral illnesses, like making sure your vitamin D is in the upper part of the normal range, like taking zinc, like eating well, like managing your stress, like turning off the media so you're not afraid all the time. All of these things, you know, they help. They support your immune system, and they're not being supported. They're not being promoted. All we hear is the death rates, the case numbers. That's another whole huge issue, is the case numbers. Yeah. And, oh, there's no cures. And you remember that with the vaccines, which are not really vaccines, they're experimental genetic therapies, but with the COVID shots, they're still under experimental use authorization, and they can only be under that status as long as there are no effective treatments for COVID. So the push has been to squash any knowledge or any faith in these medications, because otherwise the EUAs fall apart. Now, I know that they just approved the Comirnaty vaccine, yes. But it's not commercially available. So the Pfizer-BioNTech and the AstraZeneca and the J&J and the Moderna, they're the ones we have available. They're still under EUA.
Yes, even though there was a press release saying that it had finally had FDA approval, that in itself was misinformation, because they still have to conduct all the trials, and it can't officially be approved until all the trials are completed. So again, for some reason, we're getting information put out to us that's not accurate, and everybody that's putting that out is saying all the other information is inaccurate. But they're really the ones putting out the most disinformation.
That's exactly true.
Yeah.
Doesn't give you much faith in our government and our FDA and our CDC and our WHO, does it?
No, it doesn't. And last week when they, the litigation requiring the information from the NIH and Dr. Fauci's office regarding the communication with Wuhan, where they had said, oh, we had nothing to do with it, and it was confirmed. They had donated through grants over $3 million for the development of this. Again, the human science, you lie to me, I'm going to stop believing you. So, again, we're happy to have with us Dr. Patty Powers, and we will be back with her. I want to ask you some things regarding the vaccine after this break. So, see you on the other side.
Kids, are you looking for a place where your kids can play competitive sports in a positive environment? If so, check out ACT Sports. They offer a variety of recreational and travel sports year-round for ages 6 to 18. For more information, visit them at playactsports.com. That's playactsports.com. ACT Sports, equipping athletes to soar.
Browning's latest bolt action rifle is the innovative X-Bolt. Designed for total accuracy, the Browning X-Bolt incorporates the new three-lever feather trigger to give you the most precise feel of any factory trigger. The X-Bolt's hand-chambered, free-floating barrel and X-Lock scope mount ensure that every shot you take stays right on target. Check out the Browning X-Bolt rifle at Dominion Outdoors, 15 Angela Court in Fishersville. Browning, the best there is. The county seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed. Buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com or call 540-255-5903.
We're back. Again, glad to have you with us today. I'm Ray Eppert, and this is Ray Eppert on Politics. And we're glad to have with us today Dr. Patty Powers. And she is joining us by phone. And in the last segment, we talked just about the approach to COVID by the medical profession and how that is one of the biggest factors in the death rate that we're seeing from COVID. People are not being provided help in a timely manner. Now, in this segment, I've asked her to begin to talk to us about the vaccine. And I know that you have provided a number of people, I guess you would call it medical releases, to not have the vaccine. Is that the right term?
I have done several medical exemptions to avoid the mandated vaccine by their employers, yes.
Yes. Now, give us the big picture on how you see the vaccine and what you're seeing with people in your practice and experience.
In terms of the vaccine, you mean?
Yes.
Well, most of my patients are holistically minded, and they're not getting the vaccine. So I don't have a lot of experience with people that have.
Okay, gotcha. Now, with that, how are things going? Because unfortunately, President Biden got on TV last week, and unfortunately, I didn't watch it until later. And I'll be honest with you, his speech about mandating the vaccine, it was last Thursday night, I believe it was, or he did it during the day. I watched it Thursday night. It was chilling to me because in his speech, he was basically saying that the unvaccinated are causing our hospitals to be overcrowded. It's basically the unvaccinated are the biggest problem in the country today. With your patients not getting it, how are they coping with COVID? How are they doing? How's things working for them?
Well, my patients are doing well because many of them are on prevention with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, and we are always focusing on what they're eating and how they're moving and how they're managing their stress and are they getting enough sunshine and all of that. Mm-hmm. And the broader experience with just watching what's going on in the community and in the country and in the world, I am hugely concerned about these vaccines. And again, they're not vaccines in the way that we understand them. They are new technology. They are experimental genetic therapies, all three of the ones that we currently have available. And they cause your body to make spike protein. Traditional vaccines are different. We've always taken like a killed virus or a killed bacteria or an attenuated or weakened part of a virus or a bacteria and injected that with the idea that you would generate antibodies to that infection. And then you would be immune to it, and then you wouldn't transmit it. With these COVID shots, because your body is making spike protein, and we don't really know how long that lasts, but it certainly is higher in the first few weeks after you get the shot until your body starts making antibodies. The production of those spike proteins, it's actually telling your body, the shots are telling the body to make this pathogen. The spike protein is a pathogen. And by your body making the spike protein, is supposed to then trigger your body to make antibodies to that particular strain. We've never before used any technology that caused your body to produce a pathogen. And a pathogen is something that's bad for you. The spike protein binds to certain receptors in the body, the ACE receptors, and it creates inflammation. It is thrombogenic, so it causes clotting. It can alter the permeability of the blood-brain barrier so that toxins and waste products and stuff that are floating around your bloodstream can actually cross into your blood, cross the blood-brain barrier into your brain easier. And so it's creating lots of problems in new ways that we haven't seen before. And so when you mentioned the number of deaths within a short period of time after the shot, that news is being concealed. That's not being publicized because it doesn't go along with the narrative of you got to get a shot, you got to get a shot, you got to get your shot right now, and then you got to get your second shot, and then you have to get your booster. Tom Renz is a lawyer with the America's Frontline Doctors, and he has a whistleblower who came forth with data that came from the Medicare people, CMS. And they found that there were 45,000 people that had died within 3 days of getting one of these shots.
Yeah.
And that news came out, probably 6 weeks ago now. And we have more data, but again, so Tom Renz actually has a lawsuit trying to stop the injection process and the mandates because so many people are dying so quickly. When we had the swine flu vaccine years ago, and we had 50-some people die within a short period of time after giving the shot, that vaccine was immediately pulled from the market after 50 deaths.
Yeah, definitely seems to be a different criteria for this one. Go ahead.
So the VAERS data, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System data, which is on the CDC website, as of September 3rd, says that there have been 14,506 deaths where someone had gotten a vaccine and died. Now, many people die from different reasons.
Right.
And you can actually go through that data search and see every 14,000 case and look at what happened. The problem with the VAERS data is that there's no mandatory reporting for doctors. So if the doctor gets around to doing it, that's great. The reporting is awkward and onerous. So a lot of doctors don't do it, or they get timed out before they finish. And so a Harvard study several years ago looked at the VAERS database and said, well, how many adverse events does it actually record and capture? And it turned out that probably only about 1 to 10% of the adverse events following a vaccine is truly captured in the VAERS database.
Yeah.
And so if the VAERS database as of September 3rd says that there's 14,500 people that have died after a COVID shot from some kind of complication, and you multiply that by 10%, that's 140,000.
Yeah.
And if you multiply that by almost 99%, that number is outrageous.
Yes.
But again, nobody wants to talk about that.
No. And with that, I just know personally, I have friends that I actually got texts from them this week. Two of them were from the state of Virginia. Another one was from the state of Georgia. That the one in Georgia was either late teen or early 20s young man, perfectly healthy. Got the vaccine a week later, found dead in his bed. And the basic cause was heart inflammation. And especially with teenagers, heart inflammation seems to be a big issue here.
It's a huge issue, especially in the younger men and the teenage boys. They are the ones that are at highest risk for that.
Yes. And with this push now to try to get even, you know, here locally in our schools, a form was sent out basically for parents to either sign off or to reject the vaccine for the kids. And again, this is something that hasn't went through studies. It hasn't went through all the trials. And yet we know that it has heart implications for young people.
Right.
And now it's being pushed for young people to take it.
Exactly. I just don't understand this.
No.
There are at least 400 plus cases of heart inflammation, especially in the younger kids, the young men. And this is a huge issue for our military readiness.
Yes.
You know, injecting all these young people who are otherwise healthy.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's a huge concern.
Yes, because those heart issues, especially the stress and the activities that they could end up being, in addition just their normal rigorous activities being in the military, can trigger problems. And one of the situations, a friend that I know, and because one of the huge concerns about young women is what it does to their reproductive cycle.
Exactly.
I actually know someone personally that they had went through the change of life, but upon getting the vaccine, their cycle kicked back in like it was on steroids.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So what information can you give us regarding that aspect of it?
Well, there's no data in women on fertility yet.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make any firm assessments of what's going to happen. There is some concern that there can be an effect because there's this protein called syncytin-1 that's involved in the implantation of the embryo after fertilization. And the structure of that protein is really similar to the spike protein. And if there's an antibody produced against the spike protein, there can sometimes be some mistaken identity in the target, you know. And so if you're suddenly starting to make antibodies to spike protein, and syncytin 1 looks similar to the spike protein, then your body attacks the syncytin 1, then the embryo doesn't get implanted. There also are a huge number of miscarriages after women have gotten a shot.
Yes.
That's really concerning. There have been reports of abnormal periods. There have been, let's see, what are we looking at? As of July 30th, 2,600 miscarriages or reports of prematurity.
Yes.
Another issue is this issue of shedding or transmission, where a specific person might not have been around, might not have gotten a COVID shot him or herself, but might have some kind of abnormal bleeding after being around somebody that has had a vaccine. And we don't really know what that is, you know. So what is being transmitted from the person who had the shot to the person who didn't have the shot that is resulting in abnormal periods or strange bleeding? There's kids who've had nosebleeds after being around in school after their teachers have gotten a shot. There's little girls that have started having vaginal bleeding. You know, there's a 3-year-old who had vaginal bleeding after she went to stay with her vaccinated grandparents.
Oh, wow.
And so what is this? We don't really know. There's actually a a study ongoing that's collecting data called My Cycle Story. And so you can go to that website and input your data and be part of this database collection, because we're still trying to identify what the heck this is.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that amazes me that you really have to dig for some information. But like some of the vaccines are now being prohibited in other countries because of the issues that they have been having. I know specifically Moderna, the nation of Japan, has ceased the use of it because of how many people had issues with it.
Isn't that interesting that they have seen the light and said, hey, no, and here we are, full bore ahead. Let's get everybody a shot.
Yeah, let's make them do it. Because, and one thing, and tell me if this is, if I'm saying this right, but what I have read is that to date, there have been more issues with these vaccines in the few months that they've been out than all the other vaccines that we have had, I think used the term in the last 20 years.
That combined, is true. Since the VAERS database has been in existence, there are now more problems reported after the COVID shots than all other vaccines ever, all of them combined.
Yes. Now, for there to be more in a matter of barely over a year than all other vaccines, that seems like that would be something to say, hey, we might not ought to mandate this for everybody.
Wouldn't you think so? Yes.
Yeah, and that just, it just boggles my mind, which again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but when I put together the piece of, we're not going to treat you, we're not going to give you anything to help you, you just make it through those 14 days the best way you know how, or go to the hospital. And we've got this shot over here that it's not affecting everybody, but it is affecting more people than all other vaccines combined for decades.
Yes.
And yet we're still wanting to rush mandating that. That to me, it again, going to the human sciences, I don't quite get why you're wanting to do that.
Well, I can suppose that it has something to do with, there are many reasons. I think ultimately what people don't want to talk about is a eugenics motivation.
Yes.
You know, and we've heard Bill Gates and a lot of other people in the World Economic Forum and the Global Reset say there are too many people on Earth. There are too many useless ears.
Yes.
And we're using up too many resources, and we won't have enough food, and we don't have enough energy. And so there is this move to reduce the world's population, and I think this is tied into it.
Yes. Well, we need to take a break. I'm a little over time here, but again, we have with us today Dr. Patty Powers, and she will join us once again right after this break.
Browning's latest bolt action rifle is the innovative X-Bolt. Designed for total accuracy, the Browning X-Bolt incorporates the new three-lever feather trigger to give you the most precise feel of any factory trigger. The X-Bolt's hand-chambered, free-floating barrel and X-Lock scope mount ensure that every shot you take stays right on target. Check out the Browning X-Bolt rifle at Dominion Outdoors, 15 Angela Court in Fishersville. Browning. The best there is.
Do you have kids? Are you looking for a place where your kids can play competitive sports in a positive environment? If so, check out ACT Sports. They offer a variety of recreational and travel sports year-round for ages 6 to 18. For more information, visit them at playactsports.com. That's playactsports.com. ACT Sports, equipping athletes to soar.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com or call 540-255-5903.
Well, we're back. Again, this is Ray Eppert on Politics. I'm Ray Eppert. Glad to have you with us today. And again, we'll remind you of our website and our Facebook page. The website is rayeppertonpolitics.com. And then also our Facebook page, Liberty Justice HQ. We encourage you to go to both of those places for a number of pieces of information that we don't have the ability to give you here. There's one that we recently posted is a doctor that was addressing the medical profession's approach, that what they're doing is the things that could help are not being given to patients until it's too late to help. This is a medical doctor talking about this, and that things like ivermectin, that again, given early, are a great preventative slash reducer of the issues, those things are just being squashed entirely. So we have with us today Dr. Patty Powers. And Dr. Powers, I'd like to ask you, in the treatments, the medications that the medical profession is using, how good are they? And are they really helping?
Well, the hospitals, of course, they're not all the same, and they don't all use the same things, but many of them are using a drug called remdesivir, which has a 22% risk of kidney failure.
That's pretty significant.
That's pretty high, yeah. And so I was listening to a chiropractor talk about his experience with his father-in-law's hospitalization. And the father-in-law got admitted, and the father-in-law got remdesivir and developed renal failure. Meanwhile, he's getting a lot of IV fluid, and the lung function was getting worse and worse. It turned out that all this fluid wasn't being filtered and eliminated properly, so it builds up in the body, and it builds up in the lungs, which contributes to the lung problems and the pulmonary failure. And his father-in-law ended up dying.
Yeah.
So patients are often offered remdesivir, oxygen, various ways of getting oxygen, and a ventilator. But they're not being offered, in many cases, ivermectin or IV vitamin C, or let's even check a vitamin D level. Let's look at hydroxychloroquine. Let's look at high-dose steroids. If you listen to Dr. Peter McCullough, he talks about how COVID is a three-part illness. One of the issues is the viral replication or multiplication. So we use ivermectin to deal with that. It also stops the binding of the spike protein to the receptors. So when you block that, you have less inflammation. It's an inflammatory process. And so if you can treat with high-dose steroids early, you can interrupt that. You can use melatonin to help interrupt that. You can use other kinds of drugs like, they have some anti-androgen blockers, or even fluvoxamine can be used to treat. And then there's this whole issue of thrombogenesis, this whole hypercoagulability, the tendency to make your blood clot. And so anybody in the hospital ought to be on some kind of anticoagulant therapy, and some seem to be, but some I don't think are.
Right.
And, you know, the patients are, unfortunately, sick. When you're sick, you can't advocate for yourself. When you're sick, you can't think straight. And then if you haven't been afforded access to information about what appropriate care is, then you don't know to ask for things. Or if you're on a ventilator, you can't speak for yourself. And, you know, there's been a lot of quarantining or restriction of visitors in the hospital. So here you have a patient who was either sick and not really aware 100% or on a ventilator and can't speak for himself or herself, with no family advocate around to actually watch and see what's going on, to confront the medical staff and say, hey, I want to do this. Hey, what about that? Hey, why didn't we try this? There are there are stories of people having to get lawyers involved for their loved ones in the hospital because the hospital staff has refused to treat or refused to even try things. And sometimes that happens in time, but, you know, the courts aren't immediate. Sometimes it takes a few days to get these things through the court, and people are dying while they're waiting on the courts to try to force the hospitals to do something effective.
Yeah, and isn't it strange that people are having to fight to try to get some treatment?
It's terrible.
That just blows my mind when it comes to this, because this is the piece that I was, in all honesty, up until about 2 weeks ago, was totally unaware of the dynamic of how this is playing out. And when I was told, you got to quarantine 14 days, then call us, that's when I started trying to find out, is this the normal approach? And when I found out it was the normal approach, then you're basically telling me, get well on your own, or you're going to wind, we'll see you in the hospital. And that's not a healthy approach.
No, patients feel abandoned. You know, here they are told, I've had some patients tell me, oh, they told me to, you know, go home. They gave me a prescription for an antibiotic. They told me to go home. And then if I can't breathe, go back to the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's awful. That is malpractice. That is not why I'm a doctor.
No, and that is not attempting to save someone's life or to help them get better. I mean, the Hippocratic Oath, you know, bottom line comes down to do no harm.
That's right.
And for lack of a better phrase, to say, quarantine yourself 14 days, then give us a call. You're doing harm. That is doing harm to so many people today.
Yes, it is. And it's tragic.
Yes, it is. Well, again, Dr. Powers, we appreciate your time today. We appreciate you joining us here and being willing to, as it were, go on the record and talk about things like this. And I'm glad to hear that your patients are doing well. And again, thank you for being with us today.
Pastor Ray, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm glad you're better.
Yes, doing well. And I did take ivermectin, and it knocked it out pretty quick. I did have a rough time until it got on top of it, but it did do very well. So we'll go ahead and take a break now and be back after these messages.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977, producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com or call 540-255-5903.
Do you have kids? Are you looking for a place where your kids can play competitive sports in a positive environment? If so, check out ACT Sports. They offer a variety of recreational and travel sports year-round for ages 6 to 18. For more information, visit them at playactsports.com. That's playactsports.com. ACT Sports, equipping athletes to soar.
Browning's latest bolt action rifle is the innovative X-Bolt. Designed for total accuracy, the Browning X-Bolt incorporates the new three-lever feather trigger to give you the most precise feel of any factory trigger. The X-Bolt's hand-chambered, free-floating barrel and X-Lock scope mount ensure that every shot you take stays right on target. Check out the Browning X-Bolt rifle at Dominion Outdoors, 15 Angela Court in Fishersville. Browning. The best there is.
We're back. Glad to have you again today. Again, I'm Ray Effort. This is Ray Effort on Politics. And this is our closing segment for the day. And I want to just kind of rehash a few things. Now, first off, just dealing with some things on a very practical level. With myself, when I had COVID, number one, once I was exposed, then I self-quarantined at that point. From the time I was interacted with the individual to the time that I had symptoms, there was several days. It was about 3 days, basically, that it showed up. Now, I quarantined in the middle of that because as soon as I found out that they had been, as soon as they tested positive, that I knew about that, then I quarantined at that point. Now, from that standpoint, I had the symptoms on a Monday. I quarantined. The last symptoms I had was the following Friday. I still didn't go out. Now, when I say I didn't go out, I did go for rides. I had to get out of the house. There wasn't but so much of that I could take and stand. But with that, I did get out just to see, but I didn't go out and I didn't interact with people. And from this standpoint, there are things that we have to do just practically. This area currently is a hot spot. It's a hot spot in the state of Virginia. And so there's just basic practical things that, especially if you know you've been exposed to someone, then dial it back, pull back. Don't give it a few days to make sure that you are not going to be contaminated with it. And with that, once you do, then stay quarantined until the infectious period is over. I followed that. The directions were 10 days, so I followed that. Now, with this, and again, this is the thing. We want to prevent the spread of it. And so much of this, I have such strong emotions about it because it just boggles my mind how that we can have this type of a situation, have the number of people that have died, and still the primary approach to it is, oh, you tested positive, go quarantine. We're not going to give you anything. We're not going to do anything to help you. Hope you make it. I mean, that's almost the way that it is. And in my personal opinion, that is criminal in its approach. There are a lot of people that I am sure that if they had received some help, I mean, bottom line, antibiotics, even, there's this huge push against the ivermectin, huge push against the hydroxychloroquine. Bottom line is, when we were told, oh, no, these things are not safe. Listen, these things have been used by human beings for decades. Decades. And they have been found to be safe. Are they a cure? No. Just like there's not a cure for the common cold. Just like there's not a cure for the flu. But there are things that you can do to help. And currently, the upper echelons of the medical profession are choosing to say, help no one. Do nothing to help anyone at a timely manner. If you end up getting worse and you wind up in the hospital, then they'll start giving you stuff that would have been better for you to have on day one. If you would have got it on day one, you may not have wound up in the hospital. And you see, the sad part of it is, I got a phone call this week from someone that family member had been told, they tested positive, sent home, quarantine. They went to see them and check on them. Unfortunately, found them dead in their bed. Again, at this point, I understand, quote, COVID's an issue. But anything that is serious, if you fail to treat in some manner, you are dooming people to these types of results. And the bottom line, I would encourage you, if you get it, then you need to call your doctor and demand some things to at least help and to assist. As I stated last week, we have got to start recognizing that we're going to have to take care of ourselves. Dr. Fauci, the NIH, the CDC, in all honesty, they are not looking out for your well-being. They have lied to us about how this whole thing started. The documents have come out that proved they did give money for this research. They lied for over a year to us, telling us they had nothing to do with it. They lied. The bottom line is, you are not going to be able to trust those people to do for you what needs to be done. And you're going to have to advocate for yourself. You're going to have to advocate for your loved ones. You are going to have to take the responsibility on yourself to make sure that you and your loved ones survive this, because they are not helping you. They lying to you. And that might not be politically correct, but it's the truth. And the quicker we understand that, the better off we're all going to be. So if you've got loved ones that get diagnosed, you need to be talking to them. You need to be encouraging them to reach out and get help that they need and do different things. The medical profession currently is blocking and discouraging the things that help, and they're doing it with lies. Hydroxychloroquine. That was malaria medication. It has been used for decades. I took it never knowing that's what it was. Many of you have taken it, probably not knowing what it was if you've ever traveled overseas. But they're telling, oh, well, you know, that could be harmful. Then why have you given it to people for 50 years? It's not harmful. Again, you're always going to have that percentage is going to have an issue, that they are allergic to it or something. That's a different dynamic. But by and large, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin have been used for extended periods of time with virtually no problem. And I can put it to you this way. There are less problems with it than there are with the vaccine. Now, again, the vaccine's not going to affect everybody in a negative way, but it's affecting more people in a negative way than any other vaccine we've had. You've got to understand, you need to ask yourself the question, why is this stuff going on and why are they telling us this? Look and find out the facts. And again, I know I'm a little wound up about this because I know people who have died. And now that I know how the medical profession has been handling this, my personal opinion, it's been criminal. It's been criminal to do what has been done. It's not right. It's not right morally. It's not right ethnically. And you need to take care of yourself. We'll see you next week as we go away to Louis Armstrong. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.